Hope you had a wonderful weekend. We welcome you in and thank you so much for being here with us on this Monday, November 13th. I am Damian Barling along with the excellence of Execution One, Jason Herbert, Walker Ross. Jay Ross, I missed you Friday, man.
I missed you too. I heard everything went great. It's good to be back though.
All alone, starting arguments, just all sorts of stuff happening, man.
Rhyming, I heard.
Freestyling. Totally unintentional. Just started saying stuff that rhymed. Had Chris dropping songs from movies, and it was fun.
Sounds like I missed quite a bit of stuff.
You did. Yeah, you did. But yeah. We're glad you're here.
I'm glad to be back.
We are glad you are here as well. We would love to hear from you on this Monday, 44-1140-339-1140-1-800-920-1140. It's just me and Jay Ross here for a couple hours. Carol Lawson, the analyst for the Washington Wizards, where your Sacramento Kings play tonight. Mid-range city invades the nation's capital.
Yes.
She'll be with us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, and if I'm not mistaken, at 2:30, we're going to start game night. You're going to come back Kings Live at 3:30.
Correct.
And then we'll have Kings basketball, the Kings and the Wizards for the second time this season. Let's hope this one goes substantially better than the last one coming your way at 4 o'clock. So we'll get into all of that. We'll talk a little bit about the Kings and what went on with them over the weekend. We got best and worst of the weekend. Also, always, again, welcome to share your best and worst, 44-1140-339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. We'll do our best to cover the weekend in the NFL, on and off the field. More drama for Jerry Jones in the National Football League. No lawsuits filed yet, but boy, those threats are flying all over the place. Arthur Blank and Jerry Jones wouldn't look at each other yesterday while they were on the sidelines. It was actually quite fantastic.
Yeah.
Interesting day in the NFL. Let's start with this, Jason. The Saints, the Eagles, the Vikings and the Rams. The Saints, the Eagles, the Vikings, and the Rams. Those are your four division leaders in the National Football Conference.
0-4.
Just like we all expected, yeah. Right?
I think when we did our 4-4 out, I actually had Philly in.
You did?
But I didn't have Philly doing what they're doing. I don't think I had them winning the division. 0-4 for me on that. I didn't get any of those.
What kind of bizarro world do we live in? 298 yards rushing, 184 yards passing. They had the ball, their offense had the ball for 41 minutes, and they gave up 198 yards on defense. What team do you think I'm talking about?
Well, I know it can't be the New Orleans Saints because that's not what they do.
298 yards rushing for the New Orleans Saints.
Incredible.
They beat Buffalo. In Buffalo, where Buffalo hadn't lost yet this year, Sean McDermott was undefeated his entire career in Buffalo.
Yeah.
All four games.
Buffalo wants to beat you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. 32-10? Case Keenum is throwing four touchdown passes? What
is happening?
What is happening? The Rams are the highest-powered offense in the entire National Football League.
And they seem to get better.
We're gearing up for a Sunday night football game with the Eagles and the Cowboys that we think is consequential, but deep down, every Cowboy fan knows it's not. There is no consequence.
Don't underplay that one.
There is no they hit their fourth loss. Look, when you start looking at that division, I think there's one playoff spot available in the NFC. There's one playoff spot available, and it goes to either the Cowboys or the Seahawks.
Well, beat Philly twice, right? Get closer in that division.
And you're still a game behind.
I know. That's what's too bad.
You beat Philly twice in this final 7 weeks.
Yeah.
And
you still could be one back.
You're still
least,
one back.
Or more, depending on.
And you're also asking Philly to lose twice over this last trip when they've lost once.
Right.
They might lose one more. Is it the Rams? The Rams have a brutal schedule. Just brutal. If you miss that. The Eagles, Vikings, and Rams, or excuse me, the Saints, Eagles, and Vikings, they play all of them.
Mm-hmm.
All the other three division leaders, they play all of them.
Wow.
That's what the Rams got ahead of them.
Well, they'll be able to prove it, that they're pretty darn good.
In the AFC, it's more of the same. The Patriots, Steelers, Kansas City, they're leading the way. Just the Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Someone has to lead that division.
Back in the mix.
Yep.
I like Jackson. I'm not mad at either one of them. I don't know what Tennessee is. I know what Jacksonville is. Jacksonville's bread and butter is defense.
Yes.
It's as simple as that. And dear Lord Almighty, if they had a competent quarterback, I don't know. They could be the equivalent of, if they had a competent quarterback, they could be like a mesh of what the Rams and the Saints are.
Yeah, no, that's a good call. And what was so funny about the Chargers-Jacksonville game is those two teams are famous for inventing ways to lose, and they both were trying to yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
That was great. It's like, hey, guys,
you
want
take it?
You got it. No, we'll take it. No, you want? No, we'll give it to you.
You
they
take
both
it.
Just kept finding ways to not win the game, but finally Jacksonville did.
Amazing. The NFL is such a strange place.
Yeah. I mean, I think I could maybe predict, not the teams, but that the NFC was a little more open. AFC, it feels like it's roughly the same core group for the last 5 years or so.
Hey, raise your hand if you're still concerned about the New England Patriots. Anybody?
Not me.
Bueller?
Good timing for them to play the Raiders. They're super hot. 5-0.
Fry?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yeah. Remember that Patriots-Broncos rivalry was a thing?
That it, was it a thing, or was it Peyton and Brady? That
probably
was a thing?
That more.
I got a hot take on Denver. Do you want it now or do you want it later?
I think we should start it now.
You know who would be perfect there?
Oh no!
I think I can.
How
solve.
Hot is this take?
It might be too hot.
Okay.
Maybe. We'll do it this hour.
Okay.
It might be. Jason, it's 12:08. People are eating lunch.
Yeah.
It might be a little too much. A little too much fire. A little too much heat for lunchtime,
right.
Man. We'll give us about 40 minutes, I want to make sure I want to say it on the air. Because everyone, you know, Friday you weren't here, so if it popped in my head, I said it. Jason wasn't here to fix that.
Yeah.
So, crap. All right, let me see if I can clean that up a little bit. But I think I can solve a couple of teams' problems all at once.
Okay.
One team's problem. I'm stunned. It is 12:08. As a matter of fact, right now, it is 3:09 Eastern time, and Ben McAdoo still has a job. I'm floored. I said on Friday, Jason, the 49ers are going to get their first win. They're going to beat the crap out of the New York Giants because the New York Giants don't want to play football anymore. And Ben McAdoo will be fired before that plane lands. And I thought, okay, I'm looking at the clock. Okay, when does the plane land? Okay, Florio coming on at halftime in the Sunday night game. Here it is. No. Okay, that's all right. Dan Patrick, Tony Dungy, they come back after the game. Here it comes. Ben McAdoo out as the Giants coach. No. Wake up, alarm goes off. I'm looking for the alert. Ben McAdoo. Nothing. Twitter. Here it is. Nothing.
How did Twitter fired him.
Twitter fired him in the first quarter.
Yes.
But, he's still employed.
And I like that he was asked about the situation, and his quote was, what situation? Really?
Well, I'm going to stop you right there, Benny. Everything went wrong.
Yeah.
And everything has gone wrong for you for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember who they beat?
Gosh. I don't.
This wasn't a clever radio trick. I have no freaking idea who the Giants beat this year. No clue. I'm trying to remember their win. I can't remember it.
Wow, and I don't want to look it up. I'm just racking my brain.
No clue, right? Uh-uh. None. Because they obviously lost to San Francisco.
Yeah. Wow.
Obviously, we're not going to leave you hanging. We're going to have Chris get the answer. Let's give it a second. Let's give it just 1 second because you know there's the delay text line. Let's see if they get it. Hey, how about some more Ben McAdoo here? Yeah, you do too, fella. They're this, they're that, they're this. Have you ever heard a coach say they? They're. No we.
Yeah.
No we. No us. We got to do this better. We got to do no, dude. That dude is gone. I can't freaking believe he still has a job.
Yeah, and sometimes coaches also will then even do it's not all on them, but they may go, I've got to be better myself. Instead, it's
everyone's got a different guess. Okay, I genuinely don't know. So I'm going to start with the one that's popping up on the text line the most. Is it the Broncos?
Yep.
Oh yeah.
It was the Broncos.
And that screwed me in the Survivor League this year.
I don't because everyone is really concerned about that. I don't recall that game. What happened?
It was a Sunday night football game. They just destroyed them.
Yeah. They played great. Denver was bad.
The Giants destroyed the Broncos on Sunday night this year.
Mm-hmm. 23-10.
About
week. Oh, I know why you don't remember it.
Why?
It was the same night as the Salt-N-Pepa concert.
Oh, that's why I don't remember it.
You had a better day than anybody that watched that game.
That's why I don't remember it. Well played, Chris. Well played. I love it, though, when you look at this, you see, like, oh, there's Dallas, there's the Chargers. They didn't beat Dallas.
I thought it was AFC, but I just couldn't. I couldn't remember.
I had no idea, but Chris gave the perfect reason as to why I can't remember at all. Okay, so it was the – so think about that now.
Yeah.
Think about where the Broncos are right now. Think about where the Denver Broncos are. And they're the team that the Giants beat.
Right.
Now think about where the Giants look at the intersection of those two teams right now.
Yeah.
Yikes. The NFL, man, just a weird, weird place. Ben McAdoo meet Butch Jones.
Yeah,
like
really.
I'd like to introduce you two to each other.
Guess we can go have lunch together.
Because you should have all of the free time in the world. I get policy. Oh, we don't fire coaches midseason. Oh, you don't do that. Yo, your team's not playing for this cat.
Right.
Even Lewis Reddick, who doesn't do the hot take stuff. That's not his deal. He sent out a tweet last night in which he didn't specify, but he specified it today. I'm watching a football game where guys have quit.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to. If you had not watched a single solitary second of NFL action yesterday, not one. Hashtag boycott the NFL. If you were all about that, but you saw Lewis Reddick's tweet, you would have known who he was talking about. Everybody would have known who he was talking about.
Well, and I think yesterday's game was a great example of what we talk about when a team quits. Whether you say they quit on their coach or they quit on each other or they quit, the Niners, you could argue, have every reason to quit. They don't. It doesn't look like they ever quit. They play hard. Looks like they actually even enjoy playing football. And I know yesterday they won, so it's more enjoyable. But other weeks, I mean, they're really trying. They're giving their effort. They're playing. They're committed to the four-quarter performance. They're just not good enough. But yesterday, they caught a team that didn't seem to be nearly as engaged as they were. 49ers actually played pretty well, took advantage of the Giants. And how good do they feel? I mean, they only have one win, too, but they feel so much better because they're still trying and striving for something.
Did you see that celebration in the locker room for the San Francisco 49ers? That was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I was genuinely happy for them. I did not think for 2 seconds they were going to go winless.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're even – I think if they played the Cleveland Browns today, tomorrow, before the year was over, they'd win by 40.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's that big of a discrepancy between the two teams. I think the two issues – that the teams have are just vastly different types of issues.
Yeah.
And Cleveland is incompetence.
Right.
San Francisco is not.
Talent. Yeah. Talent level.
That's it.
Yeah. And they'll work on that, and they're working on it. And to me, the sooner they get Garoppolo in there, they'll at least hopefully answer. But Beathard played well. Those guys took advantage, like I said, of a Giants team that disinterested, not into their coach, whatever. And we could put all that on McAdoo, but it also goes on the players. At some point, are you making every effort to make a tackle? Are you making every effort to hold your block? You know, all the little things that you have to do.
Lack of talent will destroy incompetence every time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Every single time. You mentioned C.J. Beathard, the way he played. Carlos Hyde, welcome back.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like an Ohio State running back again. Ohio State. Sorry. Random left turn. I had thought they were going to win, and I actually thought they were going to win by a lot. Not that much. Like the stat that we gave on Friday was Urban Meyer 6-1 at Ohio State following a loss, average margin of victory 28-ish points.
Ooh.
I thought 21.
Okay.
Not 45.
Yeah. That was easy.
That was
surprisingly easy.
But just that was the same Ohio State team from the week before. And it okay, my mind is all over the place, man. How great was college football this
awesome.
Week?
Awesome. Well, yes. I mean, it was awesome. It depends on who your team is, but it was awesome.
Well, you weren't here Friday.
Yeah.
So you missed my bold proclamation.
Yeah.
I thought Auburn was going to beat Georgia, but that's not really bold because you know I don't like Georgia.
But steamroll them.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, didn't call that.
Yeah.
But my thought was less about beating Georgia and more about Auburn beating Georgia and Bama. Because remember, they're at 10.
Right.
Now, of course, Notre Dame is out. Good riddance to them. They're gone. They're out of the picture now. They can't possibly get back in. And Clemson or Miami's probably going to fall out of the picture. I think the storyline to watch tomorrow is how big of a jump does Miami take after beating up Notre Dame, and how big of a jump does Auburn take by beating the number one team in the country?
Mm-hmm.
Does Bama just move up? which one of those two teams are in the top four? Because I think it's got to be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma's going to move in now.
Yeah.
Clemson's still there?
Should be. So I think it's Clemson and Alabama stay. Uh-huh. I believe Miami will join them in some order in Oklahoma. That's what I think.
So not Auburn?
I don't think so. No.
So Auburn's got to be five.
Yeah, at least, if not lower. I mean, they have two losses.
You know, Michigan State was ranked 13th.
Yeah.
They're going to have to play Wisconsin, who's
right.
probably up at five or six now. There is conceivably a scenario where Ohio State could play themselves back in with two losses.
Yeah.
It's going to take another weekend like this one, which I think we'll get. But
isn't it weird that maybe they could do that, where there's some talk that Wisconsin could run the I don't know that they will, but could run the table and not get in with zero losses?
Correct. Yes. Now, I think that might be out. That might be out now. I don't think that Wisconsin's going to be like, wow. We'll find out how much the committee dislikes Wisconsin this week, because they were eight.
Mm-hmm.
And how many teams in front of them lost? Like at least two teams.
Maybe three, right? TCU?
Oh, TCU lost.
TCU
okay.
to Oklahoma, Notre
right.
Dame.
So those two are out in Georgia.
Georgia.
Where does Georgia fall?
Right.
Does Georgia fall in front of Wisconsin or behind Wisconsin?
Exactly.
Oh, tomorrow's going to be tomorrow will be the first ranking where it's like, all right, what are you guys thinking?
Yeah.
What are we doing here? What's going on? How much do you hate Wisconsin? Or do you like Ohio State enough that you prop up Wisconsin to make that potential matchup mean more? When the Big Ten championship rolls
right.
around. Now, of course, Ohio State still has to get through Michigan, but they haven't had any problem with that for like the last decade and a half. So we'll see where that goes.
But it was a wild weekend.
Oh,
it just,
so
I was surprised
fun.
About the disparity in the scores, though. The Georgia Auburn game we talked about, Miami crushing Notre Dame, Ohio State. I mean, I thought we'd have better games. It was just good outcomes to see where it shakes it out. But I was surprised by the blowouts. And then Alabama was the one that had the close call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was texting with some buddies. Hey, so what scenario, like we're trying to put together rankings if one, two, and three all lose,
mm-hmm.
which it was close enough for a while there that you're looking at it like, okay, we're in the fourth quarter. This is close enough. Let's put this together. What happens if one, two, and three lose? And we're moving stuff around. It's like a complicated it's like your boy from The Hangover when all those numbers are running through his head.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
You know what I heard today was an interesting nugget on this, the 3 years we've had the Final Four, the BCS Four. Nobody from this point on, because I think this is technically week 12 going forward, so this week, next week, conference championship week, has lost this late and been in the top four.
Wow.
So
that is
in the past. I mean, it's 3 years, but that's 12 teams. This late is kind of the cutoff date. I guess it was last year, I think Clemson and Washington both lost this last weekend a year ago. Still made it into the top four. And Clemson, of course, won the whole thing.
And we're doing all of this because it's fun. We're putting teams here.
Yeah.
And what if this was it? And perhaps the underplayed storyline is, as of, I don't know, I guess right now, we're marching towards a Alabama-Clemson part three.
Still could happen. Yeah.
It's not sexy because Deshaun's not there.
Right.
But, hell, Clemson's still in the conversation, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they've been in the four, and they keep winning.
It feels like Bama, we're talking about Nick Saban and really nothing else, right? We're talking about Nick Saban and Alabama. With all these other teams, well, it's Jameis Winston and Florida State. You know, we've talked so much about the football injuries. I forgot until Saturday that DeAndre Francois was hurt this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to the point – it wasn't that I thought he was playing – it's just I saw him on the sideline and it was like, oh, that was this year.
Yeah, game one.
It seems like it was right because
it was August,
12
right?
weeks ago.
Yeah.
It seems like it was last season that he got hurt.
Yeah.
So add him to the list of injuries that football injuries that have screwed up seasons. But we're gonna get another weekend like we had yesterday. I thought what we got yesterday we might have gotten the week before, but. We're gonna get one more just like that,
mm-hmm.
and it's gonna be fun.
Yes, for sure.
I jotted the score wrong. Sorry, excuse me. I got the score wrong for the?
The Saints 47 something.
Yeah, I think I jotted down 32 or something like that. I didn't give them enough credit. Holy smokes.
Yeah, they kept getting more TDs. I mean, Breeze ran a touchdown in. Everybody was running touchdowns in.
298 rushing yards. It's not your daddy's New Orleans Saints anymore. Raider fans, you've got to be – hey, that was the best possible outcome for the Oakland Raiders yesterday during their bye week, with the exception of how great the Patriots are playing, which, I don't know, maybe they're due for a letdown. Chargers lose in overtime, and the Broncos – the Broncos just get their teeth kicked in. The Broncos aren't – I don't think either one of those teams are in the conversation anymore. The playoff picture for the Raiders, believe it or not, I think is significantly more open than any team trying to get a wild card in the NFC.
Yeah.
There's room for them to get in. And when you look around and you look at those teams, if I told you Jacksonville was going to lose four straight, would you believe me? Probably.
It could happen, yeah.
Tennessee. Same thing.
Yeah.
Like you can believe that stuff because you feel like you've seen it before. So Oakland is in a pretty good spot. The division murkiness is kind of cleared up for them with the Chargers losing and the Broncos losing again, and the Broncos just appear. They're not going to be able to get one foot in front of the other, I don't think, until they get this quarterback situation straightened out.
Yeah, I think
which they're not doing this year, Jason.
I think the way it's changed is maybe the number's 9. We were thinking the Raiders might have to get 10 and win out, but 9 might work. And if it's 9 for the Raiders, then you start to look at what you might need as far as help. Well, don't get in a tiebreaker with Buffalo because they beat you, but get in a tiebreaker with Miami or Tennessee, teams they beat. So it's still got to probably play out their way. If they get to 10, I think there's no doubt they're in if they win out. But yeah. 9 might be enough, and, you know, they shouldn't think they're out of the division conversation because they've already defeated the Chiefs, and Kansas City hasn't played as well lately. But if you're the Raiders, you just got to worry about yourself, what you're doing, and this next task will be a tough one in Mexico City against New England.
I'm sadly no longer all about Buffalo. I really liked what they were doing, and yeah. Now to lose to New York,
yeah.
And then to New York. By the way, New York had no business losing that game yesterday to Tampa Bay. They should have won that.
Right. They'd really be in the mix.
Yeah, they would. They're better than Tampa Bay. They crapped that all away. They absolutely crapped that away. But yeah, it's hard to buy into Buffalo now.
Yeah.
Like after watching them lose
that badly
two straight, especially to they've gotten beaten up twice now. The Jets in hell 10 days off. They shouldn't have lost like that. But I don't think that's a shot at Buffalo. That's New Orleans saying, hey man, we're really really good.
Yeah. All of a sudden,
we're good in ways that none of y'all expected. You had. Speaking, if I'm using the Drew Brees tone, you had me out of here. You had my coach out of here. You had us all out of here. You were rebuilding. Oh, man, we're 7-2.
Mm-hmm.
We're in good shape.
Yeah.
We'll come back. There's plenty more to talk about. I think the Cowboys' playoff chances ended yesterday. Ezekiel Elliott wasn't the most devastating loss that the Cowboys had. And Jerry Jones versus the NFL, it just got that much better. All of that, plus my thoughts on the Denver Broncos situation. I'm telling you, I'm going to fix everything. I got it. Next on the Lowdown. Couple of texts here on the text line. Jay Ross at 44-1140. Time to start talking Minnesota Vikings.
Mm.
They're a legit top team. Respect is now deserved. Skull Vikings. What does that mean? What
Skull
is that?
Vikings?
Yeah, what is that thing when they do the clap?
Oh, what does
that mean?
I just know they have the Viking horn that sounds in their stadium, but other than that, I don't know.
Looks really neat when they do it.
Yeah.
I probably should have taken the time to stop being so visually stimulated by it and look up to see what the hell it means.
But 7-2, man, I'm impressed.
With what, their third string quarterback?
Yeah. And, you know, count the stars. What do they got?
Is Teddy Bridgewater going to start for them sooner than later?
I was kind of pushing for that, but. You know what? I've been more than wrong on Case Keenum. I think he only had 7 or
yes,
8
you
incompletions.
Were. You were terribly wrong. You owe him an apology. Gosh, who would have
thought that?
Yeah, I mean, geez, Jason.
But I think it was, I mean, just another efficient day. They scored a bunch of points. I know
21 of 29
yesterday. That's what it was. 20, yeah. So, yeah, 8 incompletions. And just effective, efficient, defense was good enough. Tough place to play in Washington. That's just a great win.
They're without Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
I'm gonna repeat that every week that they win. Dalvin Cook is gone, and they're playing with what is likely their third string quarterback.
Yep.
Great visual with Teddy Bridgewater. A couple of things. Well, let's finish up with Teddy Bridgewater. Here's him talking after the game. That was a cool moment for him. The camera caught him on the bench. right as players were running out, super emotional. One more thing before we abandon. We spent a lot of time, and rightfully so, trashing the New York Giants and not really giving enough credit to how well San Francisco played. Mm-hmm. We did note that San Francisco is a significantly better, at least as of yesterday, was a significantly better 0-9 team than the Cleveland Browns were. They're much better than their one win indicates. If they won another or maybe two more before the end of the year, I wouldn't be surprised. Carlos Hyde, again, was good. I don't know. It's such a tough measuring stick. You know, we had gotten a text here about C.J. Beathard with the win, and C.J. playing pretty good. Doesn't Shanahan have to start Beathard against the Seahawks? I know the thought was, okay, now they're at the bye. San Francisco's at the bye. Jimmy Garoppolo's been around now. By the time the bye is over, we'll be going on 3 weeks. Maybe they're going to march him out there against Seattle. I don't know if that's the plan. I don't know if that ever was the plan. I don't know if that's the case moving forward. But New York is such a tough measuring stick because, you know, we spent so much time a few minutes ago talking about them and the fact that it actually looks like they quit rather than talking about everything that San Francisco did right to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I mean, and then the other part, I'm honestly going to be shocked, Damien, if they don't start start
Garoppolo.
Yeah, because you don't trade for him to not play him, to not play him the rest of the year, because that's such a big investment on what you're dealing with. I would want him to get some reps. They've seen Beathard. I believe they like what Beathard can provide for them, but you're trying to see if Garoppolo is your quarterback for the next half decade or so here. I mean, that's why you traded for a guy like that, made that bold of a move. Get him in there. Let's see him play.
And how much is Seattle going to be reeling?
Yeah,
with the loss of Richard Sherman. Yeah. Like, and I'm sorry, that's reeling's not the right word. I mean, more like they have to make adjustments. He is. I know Earl Thomas is the guy. I mean, he's as much a face of that Legion of Boom defense. I mean, they're a cohesive unit.
Yeah.
Like they all work together. So when you remove one piece, it'll get pretty difficult. So maybe a prime point for Jimmy Garoppolo with a weak offensive line to get out there and find Marcus Goodwin, and what a incredible moments. His touchdown pass yesterday. I didn't know the story. I don't know if they told the story on commentary, but I didn't hear that story till after the game.
I didn't either.
If you miss it, I'm sure you haven't because it's been one of the more replayed highlights from yesterday. Goodwin scores that touchdown. He drops to his knees. You could tell he's really emotional. And again, I have the radio call here. I saw the TV call. No one was telling the story. So him and his wife lost their son, their newborn son, to the complications of the pregnancy the day before. Mm-hmm. Wow. 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 Wow.
Yeah, but you're right. You could tell it was different than happy to be in the end zone. It was like there's something else going on.
Yeah,
here.
And then they caught him on the sideline. It was like, I really would like to know what's going on here. Like this is just not a normal reaction. That was his one catch, by the way.
He had one run for maybe 20 or 18 yards, and then the big catch for 80 something.
Wow,
which was awesome.
JR, good to hear from you, my man. What's going on?
Hey, ladies, what's going on?
Hey, JR.
Who's that guy with you? Who's that guy? I recognize his voice.
That would be the excellence of execution one, Jason H.W. Ross.
Friday off Ross.
Well, yeah, man, when you got it like J. Ross, man, you get them Fridays.
You got to get those holidays in.
Oh, got those tough to squeeze in, but I'll get them in.
The vacation days. You don't want to end up with a bunch of them on your resume.
Is this what you called for, JR?
No. He had another catch, and they called him out of bounds. But that was pretty wow, what a story once that came out, man.
Yeah.
That was pretty brutal. But with Beathard, I laugh because here's your reward for winning your first NFL game. Yeah, you don't get to start next game.
Yeah.
How's that feel, brother?
Yeah. He's in a tough spot, man. Like, that's a tough spot.
And I'll tell you right now, the Niners, they tasted victory. Kind of like, you know, tunas tasting their first piece of lion meat. Those tunas are going to build apparatuses, come up on shore. They like that lion meat, and they're going to eat more. So Seattle's in trouble right now. They're going to get more victories. See ya.
Dude, wow.
I just like that. It's just the same.
I'm sorry. I don't have a
Kitcher boy.
No, I don't have a good follow up for that. I'm sorry. Cowboys playoff chances, I think, got pretty beat up yesterday, losing to the Atlanta Falcons. The playoff positions in the Eastern, the playoff positions in the NFC are extremely competitive. And you look around and you think, you know, you see Detroit. You know, they're going to make that run, and they got a pretty, you know, strength of schedule wise, they have a pretty favorable schedule moving forward. The Rams have a really tough schedule moving forward. Like this wild card berth is going to be interesting. But if Tyron Smith is out moving forward for another game or two, they have no that what happened to the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. And again, I don't want to focus too much on the loser and not give credit to what Atlanta did well, but it's no accident that the same player had six sacks.
Yep.
It's no accident that all eight sacks came from the side of the field that Tyron Smith plays on. Ezekiel Elliott is a fantastic blocking running back. But that stat, the eight sacks that Dak took yesterday, that was all about Tyron Smith being out.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you that because you watch, obviously, just about every snap of your team, of the Cowboys. If you knew that you were going to miss six games of Smith or six games of Elliott.
Elliott every time.
That's what I thought you'd say.
Every freaking time. I mean, Tyron Smith, like it's not sexy, it's not talked about. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how good he is at his position. If he continues to play the way that he has been for another handful of years, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Now, Zeke may certainly track that way. The fact is, Alfred Morris actually ran the ball pretty well yesterday. He ran the ball at almost 5 yards a clip, but they got behind, and, you know, the Jason Garrett MO is when you're behind, you throw yourself back into the game. And the more they threw it, the more Dak got hit.
Yeah.
The more Dak got hit, the more that they were out of the game.
I know, and at halftime, wasn't it just 10-7? So
that was
it. Like, I mean, you're trailing, but that's fine. You can keep the game plan all the way in. Even, I think after three, it was 17-7. You're not out of that game.
Still threw the ball 10 times more than they ran it. I mean, Alfred Morris, 11 rushes, 53 yards.
Yeah.
He's running at damn near 5 yards a clip. 5 yards a clip. He should have been a lot closer to 20. I know I wouldn't be surprised if they relied on Smith a little bit more moving forward, but I thought Alfred Morris did a fine job given that Tyron Smith was out. They didn't stick with it. They didn't do what they had done during the three-game win streak, and that is just pound the ball.
Yeah. But you don't have to have Elliott to do that.
You don't.
Right.
You don't. It's nice.
Yeah.
But there's no, like, I don't know what they're going to do. I read something this morning. They may move Zach Martin over. If Tyron Smith is going to miss another game, and it's like, okay,
patch it.
Yeah. This doesn't feel good. Like, okay. So you kind of have a makeshift line where he technically is protected by all pros on each side. But there's no way Zach Martin's going to feel comfortable with that, and there's no way Dak Prescott's going to feel comfortable with that. And Dak stood back in the pocket forever. You know, as much as everyone likes to say, he has so much more control than Tony Romo, one thing that he does that is so similar to Tony Romo is he will wait, and he will wait, and he will wait. And Brady doesn't wait. Manning doesn't wait. Those guys know they can go through their progressions and make the right call, you know, 8.5 times out of 10, but they do it significantly faster than any other quarterback in the NFL. That's why those guys they don't get hit very often. Dak will wait, and he'll wait. And if he waits too long, he'll try to create more time with his legs, and then he'll find Dez or Jason or whoever he wants to find there. But him and Tony Romo have that just striking similarity when they like to really sit back in the pocket and wait till the absolute – they'll take the hit, but they'll wait until the absolute last minute to get that pass off.
Mm-hmm.
But just a beating that I've actually felt bad for Chaz Green. Like he just, I mean, that was so awful. They waited until like I don't know if it was midway through the third before they were finally like, all right, seven sacks. Hey,
now we're good.
Sit down, fella. Yeah, we'll figure this out some other way. Okay. I've made you wait long enough.
Is it coming?
I have a scenario that I think fixes the Denver Broncos and fixes another team. It might be crazy.
Okay. We like crazy.
I got that for you then. Next, you're going to like this. So I guess we both missed JR's The Other Guys reference.
Dang
tuna,
it.
Tuna versus the Lion. Cool. Yeah. Chris is supposed to be on top of those things. I don't know if there's a soccer match on or what. I I don't like that movie. The movie's
what? Really?
It's, you know what's annoying about that movie? It's funny. It is funny. Like, don't get me wrong. Mark Wahlberg's like delivery in that movie is so freaking annoying. It drives me nuts the way
Stuff that you don't like is so weird.
Well, I'm not going to argue that.
The things that will turn you off from a movie will be like, oh, I didn't like the third actress when she came in and said this line. That was dumb.
Well, she ruined it. He's just so over the, and I guess that's just his character. I don't know. Go back and watch it. Now, with that, with what I just said.
So
now,
you're trying to get it to ruin everyone else's.
No, what I'm doing is I'm putting this bug in your head, and now when you watch him and you watch the way he delivers the lines or you hear him, you're gonna think back to this moment right here.
All I can think about with him in that movie is how offended he is at Will Ferrell for saying his wife is ugly and. Mm-hmm. Old ball and chain, and it's...
Or when he goes to his ex's, who's the ballerina. I can't have you up there on some pole just dancing for tips.
What was his name again? The when he was a pimp, what was his name? Does anyone remember?
Gator.
Well, Dana?
Gator.
Or Gator. 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 That's what it was. Gator. Okay. All right. That movie is funny.
There we go.
The fist bump. What did they say? Aim for the bush.
Yes.
And then they jump off the 40 stories high or whatever. Oh, dear. Okay. All right. I got it for you. I've made wait long enough. We'll talk a little bit of Kings basketball at the top of the hour. Best and worst of the weekend. We'll talk some more college football. More NFL. Kara Lawson. She's the analyst for the Washington Wizards. Mid-range city is in the nation's capital. Today, this afternoon. So we'll talk with her, get her perspective on the Sacramento Kings, on the Washington Wizards, and a full-on little preview for that game tonight. The Denver Broncos, their issue is a quarterback, right? There's a quarterback in the league that I'm probably a little – that I don't believe is as bad as other people do. And I think you put this quarterback in with that offense, that defense, the whole deal, they're right back to where they were a couple of years ago.
So it's a quarterback that some people think isn't very good?
It's a quarterback that I think some people are done with.
Okay.
Do you want to even venture a guess at where I'm going with this?
Joe Flacco.
Eli Manning.
Oh.
Eli Manning to the Denver Broncos. Is it too easy? Is it too cliche with bringing in the other Manning? Tell me why it wouldn't work.
You think Eli's all right? Not physically. Like, is he still – again, we always debate on how good of a player he is.
Yeah.
I think he's better than a lot of quarterbacks, but I think he's not
– Could Eli be bored? Eli always looks bored.
Yeah.
But could he be bored in New York? Could he be tired of Odell Beckham's annex? Could he be – I don't know.
Because I would argue fully healthy, he's got better weapons in New York.
Of course. He has the best wide receiver. He's got one of the best wide receivers in the world on that team.
So why, you think, though, just going to Denver would resurrect that offense? Because, I mean, he's
– Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know.
The defense has to be more honest. It gives you a little, whether it's Devontae or CJ or whoever's going to be your primary back or running back by committee, whatever. They were 11-5 last year. That's the most mind-boggling thing when talking about New York. They were 11-5. There were people who had them in the Super Bowl this year. Now, there are people who had the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. There were people that had the Raiders in the Super Bowl. There were people that had the Seahawks in the Super Bowl, but none of those teams have the Seahawks shouldn't be in that conversation, sorry. But the Raiders and the Cowboys, neither of those teams have fallen off the way that the Giants have, especially in comparison to where we thought that they would be. I don't know what it is. If it's Ben McAdoo, if it's people quitting, whatever. Are you going to be able to fix that just by changing the head coach? Like, you get through this nonsense, and God forbid they keep Ben McAdoo the rest of the year. And I don't like advocating for people to lose their job, but these guys aren't playing for him.
No, it's not working.
Like, you're telling your fans, well, this is our thing. Like, we don't change coaches in the middle of the year. Like, if I was a Giants fan in New York or New Jersey or whatever, or Philly, cool. All right. I'll see you next year. all those poor people who have season tickets now are stuck with, you know, however many more games for the rest of the season, in which they've just laid down and said, you have a coach who is coaching a team in which his players don't want to play for him. You're going to bring in a new coach and suddenly they're going to be the 11-5 New York Giants of last year again? I think we're starting to talk about big changes now. And the biggest change you can make is Eli and Odell Beckham Jr. They're going to have to figure out that they're probably going to screw Odell Beckham again and franchise him, which will go down as that'll be a top five disrespectful storyline of the season, but of the offseason, excuse me. But Eli to Denver. Can I go Bill Simmons? Who says no?
I think Denver says no.
Really?
Yeah, I think. I believe. I don't know if they think that's an upgrade.
With Vaughn, really, over Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, and freaking the Brock Osweiler?
A difference-making upgrade. Like, that feels like it's, I mean, would you say the same? And I don't, is this unfair? Like, Carson Palmer, Andy Dalton.
I think Eli's
Joe Flacco.
Andy's another one. I can see Andy Dalton playing in, like, Washington next year. Mm-hmm. You know, I think
Arizona.
I think this offseason we're going to have the greatest quarterback shuffle that the NFL has ever seen.
It's probably needed for some guys.
Yeah,
I mean, it is for Eli,
and I think Andy Dalton is one of them. Mm-hmm. I'm curious what they do with Teddy Bridgewater moving forward. You know, guys like that, guys who are starting quarterbacks in the NFL right now, starting to shuffle teams, and it's going to be led by Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins goes somewhere, then the dominoes start to fall. Okay, where are we going now? I think Eli should be out of New York, and I think Denver is better short term, mm-hmm. very, very short term.
Sure.
Not any different than what they did with Peyton.
Mm-hmm.
2-3 year stretch.
Well, that works
at
great.
Most. Yeah. At most, and then that's it. Mm. Hour number two of the lowdown: best and worst of the weekend, and some Sacramento Kings talk coming up next.